Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter, I want to continue on with the series that I have been preaching on the last few times that I preached on the terms of service of discipleship. If you were not here for either one of those, I encourage you to go back and listen to those as it somewhat builds on each other. And I certainly don't want to rehash the two things that we've spoken about before, aside from making the point that when we're talking about in Matthew the 16th chapter here, when we're talking about discipleship, we are talking about born again children of God. We're talking about instruction that the Lord has given them, saying, if you are going to be my disciple, again, not my child, but my follower, my student, if you're going to be my disciple, then here are the things that I expect of you. Here are the terms of service. We've likened that to a coach telling his players as part of this team, this is what I expect of you, and gave several examples of that. So it's very important that you understand that Jesus is speaking here to born-again children of God, saying, to be my disciple, these are the terms of service. And we looked at, the first Sunday that we looked at this, we looked at denying yourself. The second Sunday, we looked at taking up your cross, and this Sunday, and maybe the following Sundays that I have the opportunity to preach, we're going to look at follow me. So, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, I want to read verse 24 to you, and it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." So there are three terms that the Lord gives us as far as what is expected of his disciples. And I don't know how you feel about it, but when I looked at the first two, denying yourself and taking up your cross, discipleship is not necessarily an easy thing. Right. Discipleship takes effort. That's why the Bible speaks about pressing into the kingdom of God, that it is And again, I'm not talking about going to heaven here. I'm just talking about walking as an obedient disciple, as a born-again child of God. It is difficult. It is not for the faint of heart. Denying yourself and taking up your cross is certainly not for the faint of heart. But this morning, I want to look at where Jesus gives the last term of service here, and he says that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and he says, and follow me. Now, it's interesting, if you went back in time 20 years ago maybe, and you asked somebody, hey, do you follow so-and-so? They would probably look at you like, what are you talking about? I don't really understand. But now in today's terms, when you ask somebody, do you follow so-and-so, most people understand what that means. You know, if you in the social media world about following, you know, we all understand, you know, when I started thinking about this, anybody remember Toucan Sam? Yep. Anybody? Yep. What did he follow? His nose. You remember the commercial? He followed his nose. He was the little mascot for Fruit Loops. And, you know, and if you had a bowl of Fruit Loops, you had to be careful and hide it because Toucan Sam would follow the smell and follow his giant beak to find your Fruit Loops. We understand that. We understand follow the leader. We understand what it means to follow. But in today's time, when you follow somebody, it's usually on some social media platform, and it's just, and all we mean by that is that you are interested in what somebody is doing. Right. And I tell you, for at least for me and from my perspective, the social media world, as far as following, has really pulled back some more layers of the onion and just really allowed us to look at how peculiar we are as humans. Right. It really has, you know. The things that we follow and that are interested in, it's terribly silly, and it's mind-boggling, you know, because, and a lot of people are making a good living off people following them. You know, Susie Q goes to the store and buys some things and comes back and makes a video about what she bought at the store. And she opens her bag and is like, all right, I bought this and I bought this. And this is this cute shirt and this is this outfit. And I even got some new shampoo. And then at the end of that, she'll say, be sure to follow me. So when I make more videos of, you know, making an omelet or brushing my teeth or getting ready for bed, you won't miss it. And listen, people are fascinated by it. And I think that is so silly until Bobby Q comes home with his bag of fishing lures. And he's like, look, I got this one. And I got, then I'm just like, look at what all, you know, we're peculiar. We really are. But what is my point of those things? We follow people because we're interested in what they're doing. As silly as some of the stuff is that people, the content that they put out there for us to watch, people were just fascinated by it. And I just think to myself, there's no way I could make a living by videoing myself going in my closet and picking out what I was going to wear that day and showing the... There's no way. But people do. People do that because we're interested in what other people are doing when we follow somebody. So the question is, at least on today's topic, do you follow Jesus in that sense, in that you are interested in what he is doing? Now, in the same way, you know, I tell the kids, I said, look, don't, you know, if you want to be one of these people that unpacks all your bags of clothes and fishing lures, and you want to try to get people interested in that and make money off that, I said, that's fine. But understand that will be very fleeting, because eventually people are going to lose interest in you. There are people that we followed on YouTube or on, you know, some sort of social media that, you know, maybe they're outdoorsmen and we follow them. And what you notice is after a season, people kind of lose interest. And all their followers begin to fall off and they start looking for other things. So when you think about that, I want you to think about, are you interested in following Jesus in that sense? Do you get bored? Do you get tired of following him? Do you have a limit to where you say, I just don't think I'm going to follow him anymore? If you look back in the New Testament, what you will find is that Jesus had a lot of followers. If you could go back and somehow apply social media to that time and Google, in this particular present time, who has the most followers? Jesus would have been very, very high at the top. If you look over in, well, don't look, flip over there. I'm going to look at a few verses here. In Mark, the first chapter, notice this. It says, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. All the city was gathered together at the door. In Mark, the third chapter, it says, for he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many had plagues. And if you remember the woman with the issue of blood, as she crawls to Jesus and touches the hem of his garment, Jesus says, hey, who touched me? And his disciples looked at him and said, in so many words, what a ridiculous question. You are being just thronged with people and everybody's touching you because we're in such a crowd as this. So we see Jesus where it says all the city was gathered together for him. Now, if Jesus would have had a social media page and everybody would have had phones, every single person in that crowd would have pulled up his deal and hit follow. I want to know what he's doing. I'm interested in what the Lord is doing. So the question is, what was Jesus doing? You think about Jesus' ministry, what was he doing? The Bible tells us in Mark, the third chapter, I like the way it says, it's where I just read it to you. In Mark, the third chapter, it says, and from Jerusalem and from Idumea and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did. If you were going to put an umbrella and just put all the things that the Lord did under an umbrella, I would say the Lord was out doing great things. He was certainly fighting against darkness, he was certainly going around, and he would come in, you know, just like the wild Gadarene, and the boy that was possessed with the devil that would throw himself into the fire and all those. He was definitely, when he's casting out demons, I would say that the Lord was fighting against darkness. I would say that's a great thing. The Lord did many miracles, and the Lord certainly was preaching and teaching. Now, all the things that the Lord did, they certainly drew a crowd and got a lot of attention, and a lot of people were following him. But they weren't always following him for the right reason. If you read in John the 6th chapter, Jesus sails across the sea to get a place of quiet, and this massive crowd of people that have been following him wake up and they don't know where he's went, and they finally figure it out. So they all get boats and they go across the sea back to where Jesus is, and he's once again surrounded by a lot of people following him. And what does Jesus say to him? He doesn't say to him, "Oh, your faithfulness and your dedication just melts my heart." Jesus said to him, "You're following me because you ate the loaves and you were filled." This is right after Jesus has fed the 5,000. Jesus says to him, "You're here and you're following me, but you're following me for the wrong reason." And we're all guilty of that. People will follow Jesus for many reasons, but they're not always the right reason. For example, a lot of singers may put out a gospel album and sing about the great things of Jesus. But the album that they put out right before that and the album that they put out right after that glorifies all the sins of the world. They sing about adultery. They sing about drunkenness. They sing about fornication. They sing about all these things. And then all of a sudden they have a mind to, "Hey, let's make a gospel album." Now, are they following Jesus in a sense? Yes, but why? Because it's a selfish personal gain to them. Look, the wicked of the world will sing praises to Jesus' name if they can make a dollar off of it. They will. And so sometimes we follow Jesus for the wrong reason. When you compare why the crowds followed him in that sense, the only reason they came to Jesus right then was because they had a selfish personal gain, because he fed them. And that's what he says. You're only here because you had the loaves and you were filled. But what about some of the disciples? When you read about the first apostles that were called, what was it that made them follow Jesus? Was it a personal gain? I don't think so. When you look in the first chapter of John, what you see here is John the Baptist has been teaching and preaching about the coming of Jesus. And in John, the first chapter in the 35th verse, it says, "And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." So he has been the precursor to Jesus, preaching and teaching about the one that is to come. And all of a sudden, in this moment, he looks up and here comes Jesus. And that's his statement: "Behold, the Lamb of God." And there are two men there with him, two disciples, heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, on what grounds are these disciples following Jesus? They've not been filled. They've not seen miracles. They really don't have any reason to selfishly follow him, because at this point, in their minds, the Lord has not really done anything for them. And it says, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say master, which is to say being interpreted master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, in the book of Luke, which is very similar to this, in the 5th chapter, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," again, there's the crowd, As the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, that's Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Now, I get Peter right here. I understand what Peter is saying. Peter is about to tell him, we've been fishing all night. I was talking with the boys the other day. You know, it's hunting season's kind of dwindling down, and it's, we're all getting ready to go fishing, you know, and getting all our stuff ready and together. And you know, Hank and I were talking, and we were just saying, you know, it's not a whole lot of fun when you're fishing and you're just not catching fish. Now, he and I both agree, we like it for a little while, the calm and the peace and the water and life. But if you're not catching fish, after a couple hours, I'm ready to go do something else. I don't want to just fish all day and not catch anything. It just gets old. And that's where Peter says, we've been here all night. We've been here all night. And he says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, also understand that they're also cleaning their nets. You know, they didn't fish like we fished. They would throw out these huge nets, and those nets would catch all kind of weeds and all kind of trash and stuff. And so part of their job was when they got done fishing to clean their nets. It'd be like me getting all my stuff and getting the boat out of the water and putting the boat up and cleaning it up and getting everything tucked away. And then somebody comes and says, hey, you need to go back fishing. I just put all of it up. I'm not about to get it all back out. Peter says, we've just spent all night fishing. We hadn't caught anything. And then Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Now, that's interesting that he would say that. I think most of the time in our human nature, would be, because at this moment, Peter is thinking very spiritually minded. Our flesh would have said, hey, we have found a secret weapon here. We found a man that knows how to fish. And he's filled both of these boats up and our nets are breaking. We're about to be rich men. But Peter doesn't want to follow Jesus here for selfish reasons. As a matter of fact, he is so overwhelmed by the power of God, he can't even hardly stand to be in the presence of Jesus. He says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of fishes that they had taken. And it says, and so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now notice this. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, you cannot say that Peter was following Jesus here for selfish reasons because Jesus filled his boat full of fish, because Peter leaves all of that. Peter says, I'm leaving fishing, I'm leaving my nets, I'm leaving my boats. It says he forsook all and followed Jesus. Now, why did Andrew, in the book of John we read about, why did Andrew follow Jesus? Why does Peter follow Jesus? They follow Jesus for the same reason that, because they felt what the two disciples on the road to Damascus felt in his presence. What does it say? The disciples on the road to Damascus, when Jesus departs from them, what do they say to one another? Did our hearts not burn within us? There is an inward spiritual craving for these disciples, for some reason that they probably can't even explain, that they want to be with Jesus. They want to follow him. They are interested in him and interested in what he's doing. They're not doing it so they can get some sort of personal gain, because Peter left all of his personal gain. Peter could have said, okay, Lord, I'll follow you, but first, let me go get rid of these fish in the market. Let me go get this money, put it somewhere so my family might, you know, be taken care of. It says he forsook all. That included the fish. Right. These disciples followed Jesus because they had just an inward craving about what he had going on and what he was doing. But sadly, you know, even the disciples, some of the disciples had limits. Even some of the disciples says, I have followed you and I have been interested in you, but I'm fixing to draw the line. In John, the sixth chapter, you know what's funny? What made some of these disciples draw the line? It's what he was preaching. In John, the sixth chapter, Jesus says this in verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. That one statement right there cuts man out of the picture. And people don't like that. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He says, for there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not and who should betray him. And he says this, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And then it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked or followed no more with him. There was a limit there to their following. The rich young ruler had a limit to his following. Now, what is Jesus doing today? It's easy to see ourselves following Jesus back then because you're seeing the lame walking and the blind seeing and the dead are raised to life. And you're seeing, you know, five loaves and two fish turn into feed 5,000. You're seeing him walk on water. You're seeing him do all of these things. It's so easy to click that follow button. I'm interested in what you're doing. I want to follow you. But Jesus ascended into heaven, and what did he do? He said, I'm giving you and sending you a holy comforter. Yes. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, right, comes to earth and dwells among us today. He makes our hearts burn. Right. He convicts us. He teaches us. He guides us. Are you interested in those things? Are you interested in those things enough to say, I want to follow him? I think about, when I was thinking about these things, you say, well, what is the Lord doing today? You know, one of the things that came to my mind was Zion Church, down to, if I remember right, maybe one member. A church that preaches a doctrine that the world hates. What are the odds? If you were to say, we've got a church here in the middle of nowhere, that's down to one member. There's nothing fancy about the building. What's going to be preached from the pulpit, the vast majority of the world hates because it basically says the flesh profiteth nothing in salvation. What are the odds that that's going to revive? But it did. Why? Because the Lord was working in that. Did that interest you? Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying at all that you got to rush up there and be at every single thing that goes on at a different church. I'm not saying those things. I'm not saying you got to rush off to every church meeting that's out there, because if you did, you'd be gone every single weekend. I'm not saying those things. But do you rejoice in it? Are you interested in it? Does it captivate your thoughts and your minds? Does it want to send you into a season of praying some thankful prayers of thanksgiving? That's one thing Jesus is doing. When you see the Spirit of God deliver somebody from the chains of addiction, when you see the Spirit of God come into a marriage that's falling apart and you see two people turn their eyes once again towards heaven and you see those bonds of love strengthen and reform, that's the Spirit of God. Does that interest you? When you see the Lord blessing in the tremendous number of ways he blesses, does it interest you? Or are you just like, it's just another thing? Do you have limits? Will you follow the Lord like some of these disciples did to death? Or will there come a time you say, I can only go so far with you, Lord? How dedicated are you, and how are you as interested in the Lord? Listen, this is going to be a little stingy here. Are you as interested in the Lord as you are what Susie Q's unpacking from the store? Really? Think about that. Do you spend as much time in prayer or studying the Word of God as you do looking at what people are doing that are just the silliest things, getting their fishing lures out and showing you what they got? That convicts me. It convicts me. I'll leave you with this. If you ask yourself, what is the Lord doing today? One of the best places to be to see what the Lord is doing is right here. Amen. One of the things that the Lord was doing back there that did get him a lot of followers, he was preaching and teaching. Now, Brother Tim and I are nothing, but we pray that through us the Spirit of God will feed. And that you will see the Lord, and that the Holy Spirit, maybe through the words that we're speaking, will convict your heart or encourage your heart or just cause it to burn for the Lord. How interested are you interested enough in the Lord to be faithful to come and see what He's doing? I tell you, a lot of the places you'll hear the stories about how the Lord is blessed is when you mingle among the believers and the body of Christ in your local church. That is where you will hear and get the best glimpse into what the Lord is doing. So, when Jesus said you need to deny yourself and take up your cross, He also said, I want you to follow me. I want you to think this morning about following Him in the sense of just asking yourself the question, are you as interested in what the Spirit of God is doing as you are what the people of the world are doing? At times, I am not. And that convicts me. But if I'm going to meet the terms of service of discipleship, then the number one thing on my list should be I should have an inward spiritual burning and desire and interest in the things of God. Amen. Maybe next time I talk to you, we'll talk about a couple more things about following Him. But I hope that's been profitable to you. And please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.